is an article about Christmas party clubs. You can pick up a copy of this. This is actually going to be coming out in the Impact magazine that'll be coming out in a few weeks. So you guys get advanced copy. You can start reading your Impact magazine early. And then there is also a copy of From Sea to Shining Sea. And this is great. And Dan and Michelle, do you guys have a story in this book? No, okay. So I was going to say there might be in here because these are all stories from Good News Clubs all over the country. And you can read the testimonies of what God is doing. And there's a little devotional. So I'd encourage you to pick up a copy of this for as many as are there and to enjoy that. So there we go. All right. So now I want to switch gears and I want to spend a little bit of time in God's Word. So this morning, I'd like for us to look at a kind of a familiar story. And the story is actually found in three of the Gospels. So you may know that in the Gospels, it records 35 different miracles that Jesus did. One of those is recorded in all four Gospels. That's the feeding of the 5,000. 11 of them are recorded in three of the Gospels. The one we're going to look at this morning is one of those 11, and it's the very familiar story of Jesus calming the Sea of Galilee. Now, you probably know that story. So it is found in Matthew chapter 8, in Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at it really in Luke 8, 22 to 25. But what I've done is I've gone to the other passages because I wanted to get, Paul Harvey would call it, the rest of the story. Okay? So I've sort of blended that into Luke 8, 22 to 25. Now, the first thing I want us to do is I want us to realize this is biblical narrative. And because it is biblical narrative, it really helps if you can get into the story. Now, I know you all know the story. You have heard the story. You may have even taught the story. But here's what I want to ask you to do. As much as is possible, I want you to try to think about this story as if you've never heard it before. In fact, I want you to imagine that you are one of the disciples in that boat. You see, because the disciples had not read the story. They did not know how it was going to end. It was very different for them. I mean, we're like reading the story like, this is going to be really cool because Jesus is going to calm the sea. And they're like, this is not cool. What is going to happen? Because you see, when you are in biblical narrative, it really helps if you can enter into the story. It really helps if you can listen closely for the intonation. Look for the emotion that's being expressed. And the story will come alive. And that's what I hope happens for us this morning, that the story just comes alive for us. So let's read the story. Now, on one of those days, Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him, and his disciples got into the boat and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out when evening came. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep in the stern of the boat, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger, and the boat was filling up. There arose a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being covered with waves. They came to Jesus and woke him up saying, Master, Master, save us. Do you not care we're perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves saying, Hush, be still. And they stopped, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water? And they obey him. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not. Well, it says something here that I think is sort of comical. We say this every once in a while. It says, one of those days. You ever said that? It was one of those days. Now, we don't usually say that because it was good. We say that because you wouldn't believe what happened. I mean, it was just one of those days. It also tells us that when evening came, they launched out. You know what? This was a normal day in the life of the disciples. They were doing ministry. They were with Jesus. Everything was going along normal. And the day that started absolutely normal ended in a storm. You ever had a day like that? I mean, I don't know any of you very well, but I'll bet that I'm talking to some people this morning that you're in a storm. Oh, the storm, it might be something that's going on in your family that is just, the waves are pulling and you can sense all that's going on. It might be something that's happening in your health. It might be something that's happening in your finances. It might be something that's happening in your education. It might be spiritual. It might be emotional. It might be physical. It might be mental. But there are storms. And here's what I can tell you, that if you're here this morning and you're not in a storm, just wait. Because the clouds will start to gather. Now, this story is a story about faith. In fact, in biblical narrative, quite often, there's a question in the story. This one is, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? Oh, you men of little faith. And it's like the author is saying, this story is not about storms, it's about faith. So I'd like for us to read the story one more time, and this time I'm going to try to put a little bit of the emotion into the story. Last time I just read the words. Now, in one of those days, Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him, and his disciples got into the boat, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they launched out when evening came. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. In the stern of the boat, in the back of the boat, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger, and the boat was filling up. There arose a great storm on the sea so that the boat was being covered with the waves. Wow. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, save us. Do you not care that we're perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, saying, hush, be still. And they stopped. and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Wow, that's quite a story. I think that if that story was on TV, it'd be one of those stories where you're sitting on the edge of the sofa and you're like, "What's going to happen?" But there are some timeless truths here in this story. Five lessons from the storm. They were true in Jesus' day, and they're true in our day. So let's see if we can unpack those very quickly. So in verse 22, it says, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So I have a question for you. You can raise your hand. You don't have to give your answer out loud. How many of you believe that the disciples knew there was a storm coming? I didn't get anybody. Well, I'm going to challenge that for you. These are fishermen. They have spent their entire life on the Sea of Galilee. They knew red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor, take warning. Now, the scripture doesn't tell us whether they knew. But I think it would be logical to assume that if they thought there was a storm coming, they thought it was one they could handle. Because, I mean, if the lightning was flashing and the wind was blowing and there was already a tornado going on, don't you think they would have said, "Hey, I mean, we have other instances where they say to Jesus, 'Jesus, we don't think this is a good idea.'" So, let me ask you another question. How many of you think that Jesus knew there was going to be a storm that day? Okay, hopefully I'm going to get more hands here. Okay. How many of you think he knew how bad the storm would be? Huh. You know what that tells me? That you can encounter a storm when you're acting in obedience to the will of God. See, Jesus said, "Get in the boat. We're going to the other side." And sometimes when we are pursuing the will of God, doing what Jesus told us to do, we can still encounter a storm. Because the fact is, sometimes in order to build my faith, the Lord will initiate my going into the storm. See, this is a story about faith. He sends them into that storm knowing exactly what it's going to be like. He knows the intensity of the storm. He knows the duration of the storm. He knows everything there is to know about the storm. But he does it so they can learn more about him. There's a second timeless truth here. We find this one. Here it says, there's some things it says about the storm. I don't know if you noticed, but it says, a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake. Now, the historians tell us that at the Sea of Galilee, it's sort of surrounded by mountains, and then when the wind can come in, it kind of can stir things up. And on the lake or the Sea of Galilee, they have recorded 10-foot swells. Now, I don't know what you know about boating, but if you've ever been out in a boat where you're in 10-foot swells, when you go down to the bottom of a 10-foot swell, unless you look straight up, you don't see anything but water. In fact, this word fierce gale is used of hurricane force winds. I mean, this is interesting because it says they began to be swamped. Now, I don't know how much you know about boating. So let me give you a little lesson on boating. Boat in water, good. Water in boat, bad. Okay, that's pretty much it. They began to be swamped and to be in danger. And the boat was filling up. It says there arose a great storm on the sea. You know what that great word great is? It's the Greek word seismos. It was a storm of seismic proportion. They're being covered with waves. Now, at one point in my life, I had a 19-foot bow rider. Now, if you don't know what a bow rider is in a boat, some boats, when you get to the windshield, that's as far as you can go. The front is closed. A bow rider, you can walk through the windshield, and there's room for more seating and more water, okay, out in the front of the boat. So one day I'm out on the Chesapeake Bay. I'm with my mom and dad, and we get caught in a storm. And we're in this little 19-foot boat, about 4.5-foot waves. And I'm trying to drive the boat back. And I'm trying to hit each wave just right and accelerate to make sure I don't put the front end under the water. But you know, every once in a while, there would be water that would come over the front, come right into the boat. And when that happens, there's a thing called a bilge pump. And the bilge pump comes on and it pumps a stream of water about that big around out the back of the boat. But the stream of water coming in the boat was a little bigger than that. And I remember my mom, she said, was pretty excited, but she said, are we going to make it to the shore? And I said, yes, ma'am, we're going to make it to the shore. Later on, she said, how are you so confident? I said, well, it was either going to be the beach or heaven's shore. Now, here's my point. These are seasoned fishermen. They've been on this lake. This is a big storm because they're afraid. They're scared. This is not what they signed up for. And what is Jesus doing? He's asleep. How do you think the disciples felt about that? I mean, I can hear them go like, Jesus, this is no time to be sleeping. Now, it's interesting that Jesus is asleep because I think this shows us the second timeless truth. Sometimes, in order to build my faith, the Lord will seem inactive in the storm. Now, I put the word seem there purposefully. Because Jesus was still in control. You just couldn't see what he was doing. I mean, you look at him, he's asleep. And you know what happens? The same thing happened to those disciples that happens to us. They began to question foundational bedrock truth. Jesus, do you care? Of course he cares. He is love. Maybe it could have been, maybe we sometimes ask this question. God, do you know what is happening? Do you see what's going on? God, can't you do anything? You know what I just did? I questioned God's omniscience and his omnipotence. And then his love. Do you care? Because sometimes, in order to build my faith, God will seemingly be inactive in the storm. But there's a third timeless truth here. Because Jesus did wake up. It says, he got up and he rebuked. Isn't that an interesting word? To rebuke the wind and the waves. And if you translate it literally, it would be, hush! Be muzzled. And instantaneously, the waves settled down. The wind stopped. The leaves on the trees weren't even shaking. Because in that moment, all of creation responded to him. Interestingly enough, the disciples said to him, Master! And in that moment, he showed that he was the master. But there's an interesting thing I want to say here. Even if Jesus had chosen not to intervene in the storm, he would have still been the master. You see, that third timeless truth is that sometimes in order to build my faith, the Lord will intervene in the midst of the storm. But whether he intervenes or not, he's still the master. He's capable of doing that for you. But maybe the timing of when he does it and how he does it will not be according to your choosing. And there's a fourth timeless truth here. Jesus asked them a question. So the truth is this. Sometimes, in order to build your faith, the Lord will inquire in the midst of the storm. Now look at these questions. Why are you afraid? Now, I kind of think that if I was in that boat, I would have said, duh, look at this storm. Why are you asking me, why am I afraid? Then he says, where's your faith? That's not a rhetorical question. You know where their faith was at that very moment? It was in their own ability to weather the storm. That's why he said it. Where's your faith? How is it that you have no faith? You see, sometimes in order to build my faith, the Lord will inquire in the middle of the storm, because he's intent on building my faith. And he will send the perfect storm in order to build my faith. Well, there's one more point, the fifth of these timeless truths. The disciples respond, "Who then is this, that even the winds and the water, they obey him?" I put it this way, always, not sometimes, but always, in order to build my faith, the Lord will invite me to respond to the lessons of the storm. Because isn't this the question that God is always asking? Do you really know who I am? Do you really understand my character? And you know what? There are lessons sometimes in the storm that we would never learn apart from the storm. And so he sends the crucible of the storm. Now, as I close this morning, I want to draw your attention to a couple of verses, but tell you a little bit about my background. I was the owner of a renovation company before I got involved in CF, and this is a color wheel, okay? You use this when you go talk to customers, and they, you know, usually the lady, okay, she's got something that is the perfect color. Maybe it's a pillow, maybe it's a plate, maybe it's something else, but she wants the wall to be that color. And you've got to match it, okay? And so you've got different values, different hues, different intensities, and you can match it. There are like 1,800 colors on this wheel, okay? Now, I want to show you a verse of scripture, 1 Peter 4:6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, if for a little while is necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." The word various is the Greek word poikiloi. It means multicolored, variegated. It's used in the Septuagint to describe Joseph's coat of many colors. You know what? There are trials. And you know, sometimes I think what God does is he says, "Oh, I want to build Lane. I'll use Lane, not Lynn. Lane's faith." You know what? This one, right here. It's perfect. Oh, I want to build Dan and Michelle's faith. Oh, this is it, right here. The perfect trial. But I have some awesome news for you. This Greek word is used only twice in the New Testament. The second time is also in 1 Peter, and it's in chapter 4 and verse 10, and it describes the manifold grace of God. You know what God says? I've got the perfect trial to build your faith. And I've got the perfect grace to go with it. My grace is sufficient for you. And guess what? We better be careful, because Hebrews 12:15 gives a very solemn warning. Beware, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God's offering grace. You fail to take it, and thereby a root of bitterness spring up, and many are defiled. Oh, you know what? If God puts me in a storm, I can take His grace and get better, or I can refuse His grace and get bitter. So I hope that this week and in the coming weeks, when you encounter a storm, that you'll remember these lessons from the storm. They are the timeless truths that God has put in His Word. Because you see, this is not a story about calming a storm 2,000 years ago. It's a story for us. Isn't it good that God's Word is so practical and that it just speaks to us right where we live? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for this opportunity to be here with the brothers and sisters at Grace. And Lord, I pray that You would use our time in Your Word to challenge us and to change us. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, brother.